Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent Breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 544, Doolittle.
Just Doolittle.
And,
Doolittle.
That's aptly titled. So before we get too far in, we should introduce our guest. Colby Mack returns to discuss Doolittle. I'm sorry.
Hey, you know what? It's okay. If I can go back to back with you guys, I would have it no other way.
It makes up for having to see Doolittle.
Hey, and this is Kevin.
And Kevin. And Tom. You said you had this look on your face like I forgot to introduce you.
And no,
like,
but
then,
just...
and then I was like, but wait, you introduced yourself. What? Yeah. I don't understand. And we have to go around the table or Kevin gets all antsy. It throws off his OCD. He's like,
just
but
worried
we haven't
that
done it. We've got a streak going. We've got a streak going. So real quick, shameless plugs. Don't forget we're available on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Be sure and subscribe so you never miss an episode. Check us out on Facebook to stay up to date with news and events and things like that throughout the week at facebook.com/realspoilers. Join the group, which is called the League of Show Sharers, and you can also become a League of Show Share member by simply sharing an episode. And of course our Patreon, patreon.com/realspoilers. It's only $5 a month and you get all sorts of bonus content and you get to help out, which is very nice. So okay, Doolittle. I think what we should do is you guys can talk about Doolittle, and I'm going to go ahead and just keep talking about Bad Boys for Life. Is everybody okay with that?
Yeah, no, because if you get to do that, we get to keep talking about Bad Boys.
So here's how bad this movie is. Just a little sign of how bad this movie is. I've never seen this in my life. Wikipedia, right? You can go there and they have all the different like under contents, all the different things. Right. And like what for movies, there's always one that says plot where there's a synopsis. Right. This one doesn't have that. It simply says premise. and then it gives like three sentences about the movie and that's it. I've never seen it not have a plot and solely have a premise. Now, by the time this airs, perhaps that will be different.
Sure. But, it's a constantly moving.
But I've never seen something not list the plot.
So, Dr. Doolittle. So, this is a movie that's been made a few times before. It's based on like a 1920s book.
Yeah.
The first film was with Rex Harrison. And say what you will about it, it's a musical. It has some good songs in it, and they used real animals. You have to give these guys credit because in that first movie,
it was also a giant financial disaster.
Well, sure. I mean, it's a cluster because, and especially, do you know how many animals they had like to get all that to work? And you hear the horror stories about that. But again, you got to give them credit that that movie was ever made. Like the fact that they put that together and used real animals and got a movie out of it, like,
yeah,
you just have to give them credit. And again, I like a lot of the songs that are in that one. It's not a great.
What's the song they got? It won an Oscar for the song, right? What song
is
was it?
The My Friend the Doctor.
I have no idea.
I love that song.
I've never seen the movie.
Okay. I mean, I would suggest you like musicals, so yeah. I mean, I would see it and just so you know about it. But it's an interesting movie. It's fun. There's good songs, and again, it's just full of animals. They, aside from a few of the mythical creature kind of things that obviously they couldn't have animals for, they used all real animals. So it's impressive that it was ever made, and I just give it credit for being made in the, what was it, 1967? Mid-60s, and they put together this movie, and it happened. So you can read about the backstory and the production problems or whatever, but the movie came out. It is what it is. So then, of course, there were the reboots with Eddie Murphy, which I never saw because I think I was in college at the time, so like, yeah, I just wasn't watching.
They're such kid movies.
I've never seen them either. And I just didn't have any reason to watch them.
Like four or five? There was like
two. Well, there's five now, but two with Eddie Murphy.
Yeah, and then three direct-to-video sequels.
So, Colby, what's your experience with those?
Yeah, so I didn't know of anything of the past, like the past ones. I knew of Dr. Doolittle, like growing up. Like I know of the character.
Yeah.
But when Eddie Murphy did it, this is when he transitioned from action comedy star Eddie Murphy to kind of like the pre-Disney, you know, Eddie Murphy part of his career, his filmography. But I still liked it. I was young enough to appreciate what that film was going for. I was the audience it was going for, and it worked for me. Not to mention, like, I liked talking animals. I was a kid, and I thought they were cool, and it was really, really funny. And just seeing Eddie Murphy in that element was great. The sequel was also really good, not as good as the first one. I was in love with Kyla Pratt at the time, so I was deeply in love with his daughter. I played his daughter.
Yeah.
You know? And then she went on to like spin off. I think she had the direct-to-video sequel. She had, you know, Dr. Doolittle, where she then had the gift as well.
But at least I remember, I mean, these were popular movies. For what they were, they were kids' movies, but they were good enough to make sequels, and kids surely seem to enjoy them enough. I don't ever remember people trashing them. They were just kids' movies, right?
Right. Yeah.
So that was back in 98 and 2003 or something like that, 2001, a few years later. And then fast forward, not too fast, to 2020. Well, they tried to make this a lot sooner than this.
Yeah.
Tons of production issues, rewrites,
reshoots.
When did
you first hear about this?
At least a couple of years ago.
Right? It was. I heard about it. I was like, when they said, oh, yeah, Robert Downey Jr. is his next thing after, you know, his Marvel stuff, he's going to do Dr. Doolittle. I'm like, oh, like the Eddie Murphy one. But then like, no, this is going to be like a fantasy adventure. And I was like, oh.
Yeah. Well, but that's what the original is. I mean, these are based on, like, the Dr. Doolittle books from the 20s. I may have moved past it, but I was on the page looking at the movies. But like, 1920 is the story of Dr. Doolittle, the first book. Then there's The Voyages of Dr. Doolittle, Dr. Doolittle's Post Office, Dr. Doolittle's Circus, Dr. Doolittle Meets a Londoner in Paris, Dr. Doolittle's Zoo, Dr. Doolittle's Caravan. It goes on and on, but like, the dude goes on adventures. Like, this is no idea. Right, and so I'm guessing the Eddie Murphy, he's just a veterinarian, and he's in the States, and he's just talking animals, right? He's not going on adventures. So this is what the movie's supposed to be. In the first movie with Rex Harrison, they go on a quest and go on an adventure. So this is actually going back to the roots of the character. That was a way to, I think, do it with a smaller budget and just make it a comedy, you know, and not have to do much with it. This is what the movie should be. The premise, you know, on paper,
right.
Dr. Doolittle going on a grand adventure, talking to animals, doing this epic stuff. That's what it's supposed to be. But it was under with the rewrites and the delays and, you know, they had to bring in other writers. I mean, they brought in Chris McKay from the Lego Batman movie, who, you know, I'm a huge fan of, to try to rewrite it and save it. And this is what they ended up on. So, like, I can't imagine when it was delayed and they had to bring him in what they were working with.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, there's a few little things in this movie that I enjoyed, and I'm wondering if, because I enjoyed some of the humor, and then I thought, you know what, I bet Chris McKay punched it up. Like, I could tell the parts because I enjoy his humor in the Lego Batman movie, and I'm like, okay, he probably...
Well,
brought.
And you could tell there's so much ADR in this movie because, I mean, obviously there always is, there's animal voices, but sometimes the animals are having completely different conversations that are like, well, maybe they can say something funny to punch this thing
up. They cut to animals saying random stuff in this movie often.
There are two or three different movies going on here.
Yeah, it's
apparent. I'll put this on Front Street. I actually like this movie.
I'm not going to go as far as to say, like, I didn't enjoy any of it. Like, I enjoyed what they were going for because I'm like, mm-hmm. I want to see a fantasy movie where they go on adventure and there's mythical yeah. creatures. And like, I liked the idea of the movie. It was just really, really poorly executed. Like, I wanted to like this movie because I liked what they were doing. But yeah, it's just so poorly written. Robert Downey Jr. and his accent are so bad.
Oh, and I've heard they've had to redo that ADR a lot.
I've heard that too, and I can't imagine. Yeah, because I remember when I saw that first trailer, he didn't seem as Scottish, and now he seems Scottish.
On a crest. It didn't. Like, it was weird.
It switched back and when I heard his voice in that first trailer, because I did watch it. I don't watch trailers, but I wasn't really worried for this one, and I'm like, I have to see what this movie looks like. Yeah. And I watched it, and his accent kept switching between, like, it sounded different, I remember. Yeah. And in this movie, he sounded like he was Scottish the whole time. And I'm like, I don't remember him sounding like that.
I think they added an effect to it because it doesn't, it's not a good Scottish voice either.
No.
Well, no, but it definitely...
And it sounded like he was doing almost the entire movie in a stage whisper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was very quiet.
And I was, you know, unfortunately, I was supposed to watch this, like, first thing in the morning with my family. And something came up. We ended up watching it at like 1:30 in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't expecting the theater to get full. It got full. This is very much a kids movie. I had to sit in row B in AMC.
Oh.
Which actually, because it's the reclining seats, it wasn't that bad.
That's
right?
good. That's If you're going to sit that close, you got to recline. Yes. So you got to have the reclining seats. Or else your neck is going to be broken for the next two weeks.
I've got the Mini Mac on my right. I've got the Mrs. Mac onto the other right. And...
Was Mayor McCheese there too? Sorry.
You know how I got to play it up for the family. But we were having a tough time really trying to capture a lot of what he was saying, especially in the beginning of the film where it was really, really tough. And he was, it was like this kind of weird growly whisper. But the one thing that I knew going in is that this is a kid's movie. And I will say probably, maybe it's a little unfair. I think it's unfair both ways. I heard so much trashing on this film that my expectations were so low.
Yes.
I began to root for it.
Why?
Because I do not understand how cynical that we've become that we're like the group think like, you know what? We're going to trash this. And subconsciously, we're all going to do it together. Somebody literally said this is the worst theater going experience they've ever had in their entire life. I cannot stand
it. They don't see it. They haven't seen enough movies then.
Yeah, that's just hyperbole. Yeah, it's bad.
But it's not. We've seen some bad movies. But so I kind of get what you're saying though, Colby, and that's why I think I enjoyed it a bit more because my expectations were in the garbage. Like I wasn't excited in the first place about it. It looked bad. I heard bad things. I had no expectations. It could only go up. And so, again, I recognize it's very bad, but the going on an adventure part had me where I'm like, oh, I want to go on this adventure and I want to have, with fun characters and the talking animals getting into hijinks.
It's so weird though, the way the movie opens with like, it's got a lot of narration. It's got a lot of narration, obviously, because like they're piecing
they had
together.
To tell this story. Yeah. Yeah.
But it's like, oh, Dr. Doolittle and animals, and he talks to them, and he went on all these great adventures, and he did this adventure here, and then now here's the movie. He's a recluse like Howard Hughes, and he hates everybody. And I'm like, well, what about all those that fun stuff he used to do? How about we make one of those?
Yeah,
make one of those.
You
movies.
Didn't have to tell this story, right? Yeah. Exactly. Like, I get it. It's because they're telling the story of him losing his wife and being a recluse and stuff. Yeah, but. Those other adventures.
How about the fun ones?
But you chose to tell the recluse story. Yeah, I totally get it. Also,
this was definitely added in after. It had to have been.
Yeah, to try to explain stuff. Yeah, but when I saw the opening, I'm like, why didn't they animate it like that?
Yeah.
I would have watched the crap out of that animated movie.
I can't believe you take notes.
I'm kidding. But I love that storybook look, how they made it look like a moving storybook.
It was
I'm like, tell the whole movie like that. One, before I saw the movie, I just said, like, with all the animals and stuff, I'm like, this should have been CG. Should have been a CG movie. And then I saw the movie, and I'm like, no, animate it 2D storybook style. Anything would have been better, right?
Yeah.
You wouldn't have had any of the problems with the talking animals looking bad and the movements looking janky and all that. If you animate it, it's not an issue, right? That takes away a lot of the problems.
I just couldn't get past basically it's like starring Robert Downey Jr. as Johnny Depp.
Yeah. I mean, you could tell.
Like Alice in Wonderland.
Like, yeah, we want the formula for Pirates of the Caribbean.
Right.
We have access to this IP of Dr. Doolittle. Let's go ahead and see what we have. Let's get RDJ. Let's throw him a boatload of money to agree to do it. But like, what, I mean, I didn't look how much this movie cost, but I've heard like it's in, an insane amount of money that they spent.
It was like
on
200
this.
Million.
It's around 200 million. Yeah. It's
like, but just, I mean, as businessmen, do you know what you have to do to make a dollar from this?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, and I think some of it is like, you know, they got caught up in what economists refer to as sunk costs, where, you know, they probably originally intended to make this movie for like 110.
Yeah.
And then things kind of started to spiral, and it's like, well, do we scrap it or do we spend another $20 million and try and fix it?
And
then that didn't fix it. And so do we scrap it or do we spend another $20 million?
Like, cut your losses, right? But like, you know, the other thing that sucks is like they produced this. Robert Downey Jr. and his wife produced this.
Yeah.
Like they sunk their money into this movie. It's their movie. It's produced by Team Downey, producer Susan Downey. Like,
yeah.
I mean, they produced this movie. So, I mean, and I'm not saying they didn't get money from anyone, obviously.
Right.
I just mean a lot of their money is in this movie.
Yeah.
And that's why he's the cheerleader for this movie. He's the star, but he's also like, go see this movie, blah, blah, blah. I mean, like, their money's in it. It's just a shame because I think, you know, there's all those books. Obviously, it's a beloved series from 100 years ago. Like, there's tons of books. You've got these movies that people love. If you grew up with the Rex Harrison one, you love that. If you love the Eddie Murphy version, you love that. It's a fun premise, talking to animals, like Colby said. And then if you look at the Rex Harrison in the books, adventures, voyages, journeys, you know, cool stuff. And that stuff is in this movie. Like, what they're trying to do is there. But, yeah, the execution is all wrong. And, you know, I know Colby said that it's a kids movie, and I get that. I get that it's a kids movie. But there's also really good kids movies, and this is not one of
That's
them.
That's true. Yeah, it is not a really good kids movie.
Yeah, this is a kids movie, but I think it's unfair to be like, oh, it's a kids movie, so you can't even criticize it because kids movies are kids movies.
No, right.
There's Jumanji.
Right.
There's animated movies like Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs. There's the Lego movie. There's the Lego Batman movie.
Maybe I'm in the minority with when I – as I dissect films, I compartmentalize them, and
I do
like,
too. I get
it's
it.
Almost like should this film be in the conversation with Inside Out and with Coco and like with some of those Pixar greats, right? That manage to deliver kids movie goods, but they have enough like universal themes and stuff to take away from adults where it satisfies everybody. And I never put it in that category. And maybe it's wrong of me that
why not though? What makes this difference to where why couldn't this movie with talking animals that has loss, losing a wife and making a family of your own and finding, you know, a kid that has a bad family but finds a family with Dr. Like, why would that movie with all these themes not fall into a category with Coco and Moana and Cloud? You know what I mean?
You're definitely not wrong.
If this was good, you'd put it in that category.
You know what? You're absolutely right.
And even if it was just lowbrow but funny.
Yeah.
But like, no, I mean, like nothing in this
like
movie
they're
works.
Trying to make a movie that's heartfelt when it hangs on Robert Downey Jr.'s face and when he you think he's dead. No, you don't. But you think he's dead and he clings to the side and I think it was Danny Elfman does the music and it's like, dun dun, he's alive. And you know what I mean? They're trying to make you feel things.
Yeah.
And when you're staring at Dr. Doolittle and he's sad and he's thinking about his wife, like this movie's trying to be poignant and trying to evoke emotion and say something about family and loss and all that. Like they're trying. So you can't say this is just dumb kids movie because this movie's trying to be so much more.
Yeah.
And again, it's the execution of it that fails and the writing is bad. It's not funny. It's not funny.
No.
Okay. It's barely poop joke funny. You know what I mean? Like, sure, there's a couple laughs in there for kids because kids don't but kids don't need highbrow humor and all that stuff. But the good ones, like the ones I listed earlier, the good ones make the kids and the adults laugh. This movie is so aggressively.
Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs is so good that even its poop joke was funny.
Yes.
Yeah.
That is one of the most brilliant. I mean, that's. Miller and
Lord Miller.
That's brilliant. Yeah, I love that. We've talked about it before. So this movie is just so aggressively unfunny. The jokes are so post, you know, like punch ups because it's not funny and it's badly written. And
I think that's what you can tell is that those jokes were not organic to the story that they were in.
Cut cut to this animal and say something stupid that
right. and they make it very vignette-y.
All the Craig Robinson stuff with the squirrel, and I was really trying to make out all of the like the individual voices.
Yeah.
Like Craig Robinson's squirrel, it's funny, but he's not in the same movie as everyone else is in.
Right, because they're just cutting to one-liners. Yeah. Like they're just
It was like somebody watched the an even worse version of this movie, and then and then riffed on it like MST3K, and then gave some of those lines to the animals.
Yes. Yeah,
but the animals are also they're making pop culture references that don't exist yet.
That's true. This is an old timey.
It's taking place in like guess what
1600s or something.
I'm thinking more like the late 1800s.
Is it okay?
Yeah.
Okay. That's true, yeah.
But like at one point the duck says like, "Do you understand the words coming out of my bill?" A la Chris Tucker in Rush Hour. Yeah, and then there was another one, I forget what it was. Well, there was the ducks he's like calls him brah. And I'm like,
because it's John freaking Cena.
But I'm like,
bro. Yeah.
And I'm like, but nobody would have said that in this Victorian London time frame that we're supposed
but
to be
can
in.
Can I call you out on one thing?
What's that?
In Bad Boys for Life, our last movie review,
yeah.
You did not comment on them referencing High School Musical, which Vanessa Hudgens is in, and she's in that movie. That reference didn't make any sense, but it's a good movie. So
I totally missed it.
But you don't pick this.
I remember seeing
when it's a good movie. You let the leash go.
But I'm just saying because we all do it. But Will Smith in Bad Boys for Life says that Ammo is the High School Musical of cops. Mm-hmm. Vanessa Hudgens is in Ammo, so if he knows that movie,
you know what? I didn't hear that line as the movie High School Musical. I heard it literally as a high school.
He was saying High School Musical.
Right. It didn't click for me that they were. Okay. You know what I mean? Like, I literally heard that as like lowercase H.
It would have been great. I'll tell you this. It would have been even funnier if it cut to just like Vanessa Hudgens.
To Ammo and Vanessa Hudgens. Yeah. But you know what I mean? But it's like that was a pop culture reference where it's like that was a wink and people know she's in it and whatever.
Right.
But like, it makes no sense in that universe. Yeah. But anyway, so back to this movie though. It's very tonally awkward. It was written by a lot of people trying to fix it.
There are times when someone says something and then another character replies and it doesn't match up.
Yeah.
Like the reply is doesn't make any sense to what the question is.
Like they were ad-libbing the jokes or whatever.
Yeah.
Like Downey, like he already said something. They're like, let's work this in between it.
Yeah, it's really weird.
Yeah, it's because you can tell there were so many people trying to save this. And Chris McKay is a, you know, Lord Miller guy, right?
Right.
Like, he's a Robot Chicken. They all worked on Robot Chicken together. Chris McKay was, I believe, the animation supervisor for the Lego movie. Then he directed the Lego Batman movie. So he's in their group. And that's why I think some of the jokes, like, I actually laughed at, and I could tell they were punch ups and they were in that totally random Robot Chicken Lego movie style, right?
Right.
Like Jason Mantzoukas is the fly. Like, I love Jason Mantzoukas. So, like, some of them were so awkward. And I know it's a bad movie, so it's hard to find joy out of these things that are so bad. But, like, I love him as an actor and comedian, and I could tell those jokes were that weird, silly humor. And so, like, yeah, I laughed at stuff like that. I laughed at some of the punched up stuff, but those jokes were few and far between, and it just wasn't enough to save the overall big picture here. And so, I mean, the gist of this movie is that, Dr. Doolittle and his wife, Lily, they opened a refuge for animals. He can obviously talk to the animals, and so they care for all these animals and go on their adventures. One day, Lily...
So here's just as you sit watching a movie and in all fairness, the point you made earlier is accurate. The worse a movie is, the more you nitpick it to death. But Doolittle can talk to the animals, right?
Part of it, yeah.
And we see the first time we see him, like he's supposed to be drunk or he's just depressed. But the animals are like they're like
taking care of him.
They're taking care of him. And I'm just like, so this guy who loves animals, and we're supposed to like think of these animals as people. I'm like, it's almost like the slave trade. Like he's treating these animals are at his beck and call. Like they're not
But it's because he saved them. Yeah, they saved him, and so they're repaying the favor. They'd be dead without him. They're just taking care of him because he would basically be dead. Like he would, he's not going to take care of himself.
Yeah, I just like it was just weird to watch.
He's not saving them to them be his.
But that it's the end result is similar.
But it's out of love and friendship. I mean, I'm not going to go there with it.
It was just like, I'm like, he's enslaved.
No, he's not like, I fix you. And now you are like, yeah, I saved your life. You owe me a life debt now.
And I get irritated with movies that are supposed to be like teaching this message about like be nice to animals. But then they put all these animals together that would kill each other in real life.
Remember when he kicked the parrot?
Oh yeah,
off the ship. Like I don't care if he's mad or what. And I know they're friendly, but he drop kicked the parrot.
Right,
the feathers flew. He drop kicked it. I'm like, that should not be in a Dr. Dolittle movie. That's not cool.
Remember when they're in the middle of their journey and then an orangutan shows up for three lines and then never see it again? And I was like, who is this orangutan? Where did the orangutan come from? Barbossa
from Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah, I know.
And then he shows up
and does that dance when they're because it's when Doolittle sets up shop on that island and he shows up and dances then leaves.
Right, you never.
No, that was the most. Yes, I agree. Like, and then he was in the credits. They painted him like he was one of the main characters.
Yes. Oh my gosh, I'm telling you, there's like another hour to this.
No,
easily.
There's so much that we're not seeing, and this is what we ended up with.
And I was trying to look up to see who the voice of the orangutan was because I was wondering. Was it
Jeffrey Rush?
Well, it was with Antonio. They put him up there with Antonio Banderas. Almost made me think he voiced him, but I don't know.
Okay,
he was on his island, but also in the credits they painted him.
Yeah,
and I saw his name there, so I was wondering if they also used him to do it real quick.
Well, because I was wondering, like, is it a big name actor? And they were like, well, we can't completely cut the guy. Yeah.
And I didn't see anything with the Jeffrey Rush Colby. Oh, you could be right. I just didn't get that from the one line of his dance or whatever.
It was just really like the characterization of that orangutan. He reminded me of Barbossa from Pirates.
But did you like how Iron Man got Spider-Man to be in the movie for 5 minutes because he's like, you stay here.
Yeah, he got Tom Holland in the movie
because they're both in the Marvel stuff, and then he's like, "Yeah, you stay with the Queen, okay?" And then we don't get any Tom Holland until the very end. Like Tom Holland's a huge draw at this point, and they're dynamic together, and they're not even hardly in the movie together. That was like they got him for a couple days, or like as a favor, maybe like on lunch breaks at Iron Man or something. He got him to record.
He's like,
you know,
say this into my iPhone,
right? Exactly. Jarvis, record Spider-Man. But anyway, so. Lily dies on a voyage, much like in Disney movie fashion. She's on a voyage and she ends up dying. Robert Downey Jr. or Dr. Dolittle becomes a recluse. The Queen has made his house into a
sanctuary
for animals. And so they all live there. I don't know who's feeding these animals. A lot of large giraffes, elephants. That foliage runs out eventually.
I just assumed the wife died in the other room and they were living off her carcass. I was trying to write a better movie in my head.
But you see all these large animals, and it's like, when you go to the zoo, you know that they don't just let the animals fend for themselves.
Right.
Like, someone's still feeding them and taking care.
What was unique is the fact that the animals could talk to each other. I'm trying to remember if that was a thing in Dr. Dolittle. I don't know. I feel like in Dr. Dolittle, Eddie Murphy, they just behaved around other animals. But I don't remember them ever communicating.
I think they can in the original. I'm pretty sure they can. Okay. Like they have a language to talk to each
other. It is a weird plot point though, because they show you that Dolittle basically speaks in the animal's language.
Yeah.
And so that would mean that all the other animals either have a shared tongue.
Yes, I totally get what you're saying.
Right.
Because when they translate it, so at first you see Dolittle and even his little assistant that stumbles, gets involved in the story. The way they communicate is by acting like the animals. So to that point, right, is a duck acting like a gorilla to talk to a gorilla?
Right.
So I don't really understand that. Now, I know in the Rex Harrison version, I know he does make some animal noises and stuff, but he usually speaks to them in English, or at least that's what we see. And so I took it that they just could understand like a common language. I don't think this movie brings up that question, which is weird,
right?
Which they don't usually address in the other ones.
Yeah.
But talking animals, so I don't know.
And again, if it was a better movie, you wouldn't ask the question, or you'd just be like, "Hey, this is kind of silly," and then you'd move on.
Absolutely.
But they use this effect where we could see him doing the impersonation. Well, I don't say the impersonation. You see him beat on his chest.
Yeah.
Like I took some notes because I was. I was hooked in because I really wanted to like this movie. Like, I went in really wanted to like it. And kind of seeing this disheveled recluse and, you know, it, the cool scene of the animals kind of helped. It almost felt like Cinderella, where, like, you know, the little birds are floating up his robe and putting his slippers on.
That totally was straight out of Cinderella. I mean, yeah, the birds putting the robe on.
It was. And then I was like, wow, I've never, like, to think, like, to write it on paper, I want to see a game of chess played with mice as the pieces between a gorilla and Doolittle.
Yes, there's some, like, cute concepts. And again, I like a lot of what they were trying to do. And that stuff isn't the problem. Like, you know, the mice playing chess, like, that's clever. It's all the story and the dialogue and the bad CG. Like, all that stuff is sloppy. But again, talking animals, the cute, clever concepts. Like, yeah, I'm on board and I want that movie and I want it to be really good. But so to get to the plot of this movie, though, so there's a kid that Stubbins, who is comes from a family of hunters. He doesn't want to be a hunter. He wants to be a veterinarian. So he ends up going to Dr. Doolittle after he accidentally injures a squirrel, which is that Craig Robinson voiced character, brings him to Doolittle and kind of kickstarts his veterinarian stuff again. Like, all the animals pitch in and they're all helping him do surgery and ends up saving the squirrel. At the same time, this little girl, who they never explain who she is or what her relationship is, Lady Rose, who just is, like, there.
I guess, like, a handmaiden to the queen?
I guess she is, but it's like,
but apparently she's, like, next in line?
I would know, because if she was, then it wouldn't be as big of a deal.
And she probably wouldn't be trying so hard to keep the queen alive.
Yeah.
But it's just, I remember the old guy from Harry Potter, he was like, yeah, Jim Broadbent, child queen. And yeah. I'm like, okay, whatever.
I think the villains are great, and they're working with the best they can. Like,
Shout out to Martin Sheen.
I like Martin Sheen, and I like
Michael Sheen.
Yeah, he said. Oh, sorry, he said Martin. Yeah, I like. Sorry. Yeah, I don't know. I like Michael Sheen and I like Jim Broadbent, and I think they're great as, like, the Weasley movie villains, right? Yeah. Like, I mean, but what they're doing is fine. I wish they were in a better movie, but like, I enjoyed the times that I saw them, and like, they were cartoony and villainous, and that's fine. They were doing whatever they could. So yeah, that was fun. But anyway, the whole point of this is that this Lady Rose, who they never really explain what her position is or whatever, but she's like, she can walk.
Hang on, let me check the plot synopsis on Wikipedia.
So Lady Rose comes, and the queen, who they never really address much of their backstory other than she made his land a sanctuary, but the queen is sick and she has called for an animal doctor to save her life. Okay, that's weird, but
I guess because she trusts him, I think, is.
I guess it's just weird. Yeah. He's a veterinarian. That, like, So she calls for him. So Lady Rose convinces him that he has to come to the queen, and she also is talking, you know, among the animals, and she says to Stubbins, like, if he doesn't do this and the queen dies, the contract for the animal sanctuary will be null and void. It's only for her lifetime.
Yeah.
He was under the impression that it was for his lifetime. And that's what you get for having monkeys do your paperwork.
Yes.
Hilarious.
The monkeys never talk throughout the whole movie.
And, like, why would you have your monkeys do legal paperwork? Even if you can talk to them, why would monkeys do legal? Okay. Dumb joke. But anyway, so he ends up getting, you know, they knock him out to shave him and do his hair, and he comes out looking still disheveled, but at least a little bit more cleaned up than his Howard Hughes look. And he ends up saying, okay, I'm gonna go see the queen, see what she wants. He dismisses Stubbins, you know, and I kind of like the idea where he's like, but I'm gonna go with you. And then all of a sudden you see he, like, boots him out and he's, you know, heading back home. But whatever, you know, Stubbins wants to go, and the animal, the parrot that's voiced by Emma Thompson, she ends up coming back at his house and, like, what are you doing? You're going to miss the boat.
Oh, he's still always first to go to Buckingham Palace to diagnose the queen.
Yeah. Okay. So, but after all that, he's like, I'm going to go on an adventure, and then Stubbins go home. So Stubbins is going home, and let's mention that the plot point is that Dr. Doolittle has the dog, voiced by Tom Holland, sniff his book that has all these different samples of different plants, and he smells the deathly nightshade. And so he figures out by talking to an octopus that she drank tea and ended up being sick, and with the smelling of the deadly nightshade, that someone has been poisoning her tea, and the only cure for it is the mythical MacGuffin berry that Lily Doolittle was researching when she died.
So oh, no.
That's the journey. That is the voyage that he is set off on. So he sends Stubbins packing. The parrot comes to Stubbins and says, "Hey, what are you doing?" And you know, he says, "Oh, Dr. Doolittle sent me home." And you know, Emma Thompson's like, "Oh, I'll deal with him. Like, you're the only one that can go. You can kind of talk to animals, and I sense something about you. You need to go." Okay. So you know, he runs to the ship. He rides a giraffe, and they're being chased by people.
A giraffe with a fox on it.
Yeah, Giraffe with a Fox, voiced by Selena Gomez.
Penelope Cruz.
Or no, the giraffe is Selena Gomez, and the fox is it Penelope Cruz?
I think it is Penelope Cruz.
It's like there's a couple of random voices.
Oh, no, my apologies. Marion Cotillard.
Oh, yeah, she's French. That's what I thought. She's like these are very minimal characters because they get him on the ship. And again, I like the idea. This is a fun action set, you know, sequence. And they get him to the boat, but the boat's already left, so they got to get on the bridge. And then they lower him down on the boat, but the elevator thing is broken, so he has to jump on a sail. You know, I mean, like, I like the idea of the quest and the kid going on this adventure and all that. It is fun. But he ends
the squirrel
up
just wishing that he die from the fall.
And again, I it has to be Chris McKay punch ups. But there's this through line where because the kid accidentally shot the squirrel, once he was saved, Craig Robinson is always like plotting against the kid and wants to kill him. Like, I think that's funny. It's in a better movie, right?
Yeah.
Right. But I like the idea of it where the squirrel's always there, always watching him. Like,
that's the nut job movie that I want to see.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, those little things don't save it, but they made it at least there were some funny little things. But anyway, so he ends up on the ship and, you know, hijinks ensue. They end up sailing, you know, whatever, skip over a bit, but they end up sailing to this mysterious island that Dr. Doolittle used to live on, and you don't know why. Well, come to find out, Dr. Doolittle used to live there because Lily, his wife, is the daughter of the king of this island. And so, you know, lots of, you know, costumes, and it's like a I don't want to say like a
pirates knockoff,
a Genghis Khan kind of a thing, but you know, like they're dressed kind of like pirates or
an
like,
island of marauders and pirates.
I can't think of the exact word, but you know, they're just dressed like that where there's like scoundrels and and conquerors and everything. So he goes to this island and he has to sneak in, and this is where the editing gets really bad and choppy.
Oh yeah,
and I feel like they tried to clean it up and act like it was clever, but they start narrating what happens like a time lapse.
Yeah,
instead of showing you, instead of animating it all, instead of doing it all, they're like,
I was like, wait, is this Ocean's 11? Like, are we gonna go back?
Right, they start doing a narration weird thing about this. So they had to sneak in. So Dr. Doolittle did this, and he climbed on the side of the building. Then they crawled on the floor. Then they got. I'm like, what are we doing? Why are you like? Nothing is happening in this movie. This is a major plot point to get the journal with the directions to the MacGuffin Berry. Like, why are we skipping over all of it? It was really weird.
And they do that repeatedly because there's a scene later where they get to the island and like they show the boat pulling up to the island, and the next thing they're just on the side of a mountain.
And those I get, those are choppy edits, but this was like a narration, like they edited it to like they scripted it this way,
right,
in editing to like clean it up.
Yeah,
so they narrated to us them breaking into this castle to get this journal, and it's like, why couldn't you have just shown us? That would at least be something in this adventure.
Yeah,
so they sneak into the castle, they end up getting captured, and we find out that Antonio Banderas is playing the father of Lily. And again, for these villains, like, I thought Antonio Banderas was good. He was in a kids' movie, right? Like,
He sleeps in a den of lions.
Yeah.
Without a
But it's big and it's silly, but, like, he was in the movie I wanted to see. You know what I mean? Like, there was nothing about his performance where I'm like, oh, he's so bad in this. You know, like, I enjoyed it. Like, he was being a goofy, like, a silly kids' movie villain. He was good, right? Like, he was in a different movie. But anyway, so he ends up capturing them with the help of a dragonfly voiced by Jason Mantzoukas, which, you know, again, I'm a huge fan of his. Some of the stuff, you know, it wasn't all great, but him with his voice and his manic energy and his, you know, it was funny sometimes.
You can't not like Mantzoukas.
It's just, he just has that energy about him where he's just funny. So anyway, the dragonfly, like, fails to, you know, he's like, he falls in love with any female, doesn't matter what creature they are, human, animal, doesn't matter. But, you know, he always just gets sidetracked and he's terrible. But he tries to sneak Stubbins. He's the only one that can fit through these bars in the secret hidden fortress to go get this journal. So the kid ends up sneaking past all these lions and he goes down to the treasure room. He gets the journal. But the Manzuka's character is just being obnoxious and like, oh, look how close I can get. I can get this close. And I did like the, you know, there's that Godfather thing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you know, the ants where he's
she's with a scorpion now.
Yeah, you come to me on the day of my day. It just, you know, it's just goofy. But so Manzoukas is like, oh, would that scorpion do this? Would he do this? And he gets right up to the lion, wakes him up. So, of course, the lions are chasing the kid. And then Antonio Banderas ends up catching him, throws Doolittle in jail, lets the kid go. He actually, like, wants him to join his conquerors or whatever, which is interesting. And then we get Ralph Fiennes as a tiger that Dr. Doolittle treated at one point and then left him, I guess, or something. And then
he's got mommy issues.
Yeah. He's got all these issues, and Dr. Doolittle has to, like, play therapist to him. Doolittle's chained to a block. They basically left him to die by tiger. But he starts talking to this tiger, and the tiger, you think for a second, is going to be nice and talk to him, and then all of a sudden he's crazy, basically, and he just, you know, I don't know, I don't want to say that like demeaning, but they say that he's crazy in the movie, but he has these issues he's
Will
dealing with.
Will Arnett tells us he's crazy. Will Arnett is a is a roguish one-eyed jackrabbit who's banging on
the is that
tiger.
Who that was? Okay, well, and that yeah. makes sense with the Lego movie connection and all that. They'd get Will Arnett. He ends up escaping. I don't know what, he knocks him out, someone.
God, you know what?
Oh, the gorilla came in. Is it Chi-Chi?
Yeah, so Chi-Chi, voiced by Rami Malek, he's scared. This gorilla is this big, huge, strong gorilla, but he's nervous. And so we saw him fail earlier when they're on a boat and Dr. Doolittle has to attach something to a whale so they can get away from the Michael Sheen character that's chasing him down. Jim Broadbent, who's like the, I don't know, some kind of high council or whatever, he tells Michael Sheen to go make sure he doesn't come back from this journey. So anyway, Chi-Chi fails to do what he has to do to save Doolittle. He ends up surviving, and then Doolittle says it's okay to be scared and whatever, gives him this pep talk. So Chi-Chi eventually gets the courage to come in, and he fights the tiger, and the tiger ends up getting knocked out or whatever, and they escape. So this is when they get out to, so they have the journal. They get out to the dock or whatever, and Michael Sheen and his guys intercept. The thing that really bothered me about this is Michael Sheen out loud is talking about his plot to poison the queen in front of all these soldiers. Yeah. Only him and Broadbent are plotting against the queen. They're openly plotting in front of just you don't think soldiers are going to talk or maybe not be okay with that? I just thought it was really, that's the thing that we talked about if you listen to our Bad Boys review. When they're on a plane and the bad boys are talking and other people hear the things they're saying, they're like, oh, sorry, I didn't mean, you know, like,
right.
Like this movie is not well written. It doesn't think of things like that. Yeah. So when he's talking, you're not supposed to think that, oh, maybe other people overhearing should not be hearing that they poisoned a queen.
Right.
But like they're saying it and we hear them, but there's people around them. Right. I just thought that was a really irresponsible thing to do if you're plotting to kill the queen.
God, I know I did not fall asleep during this movie. But like I so tuned it out, yeah. I remember almost none of what you're talking about.
So anyway, they end up, they end up shooting a cannon at the Doolittle ship, and it explodes because that's how cannonballs work. They shoot and it just like explodes. All the animals abandon ship or whatever, and join them on shore. And this is where Doolittle, like, he acts like he's going to give a pep talk, and he ends up saying like, "We're screwed." And so they're like, we'll start a new life. I'll open up shop at this fruit stand or whatever and treat the animals. And this is where you get that orangutan comes over, does a dance, and you never see him again.
Yeah, it's so weird.
It's the most random, but not even random in like a good, funny way. It was just like, what the?
Yeah.
We've never seen this character. But Doolittle ends up talking about Lily, and Antonio Banderas happens to be around the corner and hears how he's talking about her. And ends up saying like, oh, I loved her and this is, she would want you to continue your journey. So he ends up sparing his life when you think that the guards, you don't think this, but you think the guards are going to kill him or whatever. He's like, she would want you to go on. And he gives him a crappy ship that's like covered in bird poop and stuff, just a really rundown ship.
How much older is Antonio Banderas than RDJ?
Oh, he can't be much.
I don't
right?
think much.
Like, I kept thinking about, like, why is this guy, like, supposed to be, like, you know, a father to this? I mean, how old is Lily?
You know, he's just like, Antonio Banderas is 59. Robert Downey Jr. is 54.
God, so it's not that different.
Yeah.
Yeah, but enough to be dating his daughter?
I mean, it's, you know, that's just movie, you know, actors play. I mean, he could be any age under.
Just kept throwing me off.
Yeah, under that beard and the shaved head, you know, whatever. But anyways, they go on the journey. They pull off a sheet and there's a guy in the stockade.
Yeah.
What? It's, again, I think it was supposed to be that random punched up humor, but in this movie, it just like, because I laughed, I'm like, what?
You laughed because it's ridiculous, but like, then I'm not because like, it's funny.
Yeah. And but in a totally different movie, like I like that style of humor, but it never came back. Like if that guy somehow circled back and did something, and I'm like, oh, there was a callback to him. He's like, he was under a cover on a boat. How long has he been there? How is he even surviving? Where did he go? You never see him again. That doesn't make sense.
No.
But anyway, so they get on the ship and they sail. How do they remember? They don't have the journal at this point, right? The bad guys have it. They had to steal it back or something. Colby, remind me.
Man, I got nothing.
I don't know.
I don't really remember, to be perfectly honest with you. They follow the bad guys that have the journalers.
Yeah, they use the whale's sonar to track the boat.
Oh, he talks to the whales and say, go find them or something. Yeah, that sounds familiar. Because the Michael Sheen says, like, oh, they're waving at me, but they're really flipping him off. Because he's like, I can't believe you're flipping him off. He's holding the whale's holding his flipper, and Michael Sheen's like, hi. He thinks he's waving, and the other whale says, I can't believe you're flipping him off.
Yeah, total punch-up humor. Like, yeah, that's totally, that's like, that's somebody just, was riffing on the movie, and it's like, give that line to a whale.
Totally. So anyway, they end up finding him. They get to the island, and they end up finding the...
Well, that's where they find the dragon.
Well, I know, but so...
how can you forget the most memorable scene of the movie?
Looking for the Eden tree, the mythical Eden tree with the Eden fruit. That I'm assuming this Eden tree is like from the Garden of.
I like the MacGuffin berry better, but that's just
me. MacGuffin berry.
But yeah, so it's the fruit from the tree from the Garden of Eden that's magical or something like that. So they get there and then they find all these, I guess, like dead bodies and stuff, or the bad guys are there.
So
and then,
just to put it in perspective, he finds the Eden tree that can basically cure any disease.
And takes one berry.
And takes one and uses it so he can keep his house.
Yeah.
What a douche.
Yeah.
Like,
and
he's got
guy.
The map to go back anytime now.
Yeah. But why would you do that when you could just harvest them?
Or like take the seeds and maybe plant one.
Yeah. But you're right. Yeah. No, you're totally right. It's crazy. So I think there's a showdown with the dragon because they're in
there's
this
a dragon that protects this.
Yeah, they're in this room and there's all these like things strewn about and there's bad guys and all of a sudden it wakes up and it starts setting people on fire and devouring them and all this crazy stuff. And come to find out, the dragon grabs RDJ and she's about to eat him or kill him or whatever, and he's able to talk to it. And they're like, are you speaking dragon? He just makes this random noise and he's talking to this dragon, and the dragon ends up telling him that she's constipated. And
yeah, I mean, so like
he gives the dragon
like,
an enema.
It's like her dialogue. He's detecting that something's like not right and he can kind of feel it. And I kind of like what Marcus does in Bad Boys for Life. He penetrates her soul with his heart, and they connect. And he diagnoses her.
He penetrated her whole.
Yeah. But like,
so he penetrated her whole so she could fart.
But in a kids movie, with as stupid a humor as in this movie, they sure did tiptoe around her being constipated. Like, how many other ways could they say it? Why did they tiptoe around it instead of just making a poop joke? Like, it's a dumb kids
movie.
It's
just weird to have an extended scene revolving around giving a dragon an enema.
Yeah, but that's what it is. So they find out that she's constipated. He ends up saying some nice things because she says, you don't understand me and the pain I've been through. There's physical pain, but then also he looks over and there's a dragon skull. So he, infers that she's lost the male dragon, so she's alone. He says, I do understand, and connecting with her over his loss
and
of Lily.
And then he makes sweet, sweet love to that dragon.
I mean, if a donkey can do it, she says, just go, and she's laying on her side, and she's very hurt and in pain. And he says, you know, we've got to help her. So he gets all the animals together and tells them to push her over on her side and, like, lifts up her wing and her leg. and he ends up going through her butt and pulling out like shields and suits of armor and skeletons. And
I will say, I've never thought, like, when you see all these different dragon movies and they eat things whole. And my wife
never thought
of how would that be in there? Well, he doesn't have a fork and a knife to like peel off armor. They're just swallowing things. So it makes sense that there'd be blockage.
But they also are dragons that can produce fire. Like, you think their stomach acid might be like strong. Yeah. Like, I mean, there are explanations other than them just coming out whole, or they're big enough, whatever. But, you know, this is what this movie is going to tackle. So he is just pulling things out of her butt for like 5 minutes. Like, I mean, he's pulling them out. And then he's like, this is going to be a tough one. And they all don't, like, a bunch of them come and help him pull. What was the last thing? It was a huge,
I think it was like a whole upper torso or something.
Whatever it was. But he ends up just like, this is going to hurt. And then, you know, so he pulls out all this crap from the dragon's butt, literally. And then the dragon's red, you know, fiery, like, color turns to blue, because it's a nice dragon now.
Yeah.
Dragons are only fiery and red when they're mean. Oh,
I'm sorry.
The fart scene. That's what it is. They finally, after tiptoeing around it, do an extended fart, blowing, you know, air into Robert Downey Jr.'s face. His hair is going, you know, I mean,
that would have killed him.
Yeah. So, no one light a match. But so then she turns to blue, 'cause she's a good dragon now. You know, they're good when they're not constipated. And she says, now your reward is that you get to go over here. And so she puts her wing on this waterfall. And on the other side is like the Garden of Eden.
Tree,
and
I legit thought Lily was going to be over there. Like, I thought the line was going to be, I haven't met, like, out of all the thousands of, like, you know, armies that have been here, I've never met anyone like you until I met her.
Like, she survived trying to find it.
Yeah,
that would have been a better movie.
Yeah, Aquaman.
I kept waiting for the wife to be alive.
God,
too.
You're right. This is the exact scene out of Aquaman.
Yes. Yeah.
Other than the mom surviving, spoilers for Aquaman, you've seen it. But oh my God, this is the exact same thing when he's trying to get past the sea creature. And then he goes to this other place, and then the mom's been living there. Oh my God, it is the exact same scene. So anyway, he gets there. He takes the one MacGuffin berry, and the race is on. So they cut back to the queen. She's dying.
Jesse Buckley. Good job.
The priest is reading her last rites. You know, Jim Broadbent is, you know, oh, I'm sorry, Michael Sheen fell in a pit back in the Battle of the Dragon. I mean, whatever. So he's off screen dead. But, you know, Jim Broadbent is like twisting his mustache in the corner waiting for the queen to die. And all of a sudden the animals barge in and John Cena's in there calling people bro. And everyone's like, it's the end of Endgame where they're all tossing around the gauntlet to Spider-Man and T'Challa and everything. They start passing around and throwing around this, priceless MacGuffin berry. And the kid, Stubbins, he grabs it and he's able to sneak under the bed or whatever and on top, and he ends up squeezing two drops of juice that hit Jesse Buckley's lips, and she wakes up, and all of a sudden it's all good. Robert Downey Jr., that we didn't set up earlier, he left the stick bug to spy on the bad guys, and so the stick bug tells him of all the evil plotting and that these bad guys were trying to poison her, so he says it. And
which is also weird, because it's like no one else can hear the
right
stick bug,
so they believe him.
So like, he could, that stick bug could be like, everything's cool. They seem to have her best interest at heart.
I know.
And he could be like, the stick bug says they're trying to kill her.
That's what I'm saying. That's why this is a poorly written movie. I thought the exact same thing. I'm like, why would they believe him? But, Tom, you've forgotten. Jim Broadbent carries around the poison in his pocket.
Yeah.
Just
the poison that he's
using again.
He's not even poisoning her anymore. He poisoned her weeks ago. He poisoned her, and she's already going to die. Oh, by the way, her dying is only by the end of an eclipse?
Yeah, it's like,
what?
It takes that long for Night Shade to kick in.
Why would that be timed to
the
poison?
Right, to an eclipse, right? So it doesn't make any sense. But anyway, he already knows she's going to die. He's already poisoned her, but he keeps the vial of poison in his right pocket at all times. That is the dumbest. It's just such lazy writing, because he could have gotten away with all of it if he didn't have the poison on his pocket. He'd be like, this crackpot
it's
is insane.
Awful.
So then, you know, the queen sentences him to the tower. And then she says, hi, lady, whoever, you're the best person ever. We don't know anything about you, but you're lady, whatever. And you have all access to the queen and whatever. And then she has to explain that Doolittle saved them all. I don't know. The queen's kind of a jerk. Like, she's not very nice. It doesn't seem. But she's like, yeah, Doolittle saved you. And Stubbins. Oh, yeah. She's like, who are you to Stubbins? And she's like, he saved you. And she's like, oh, okay, cool. And then that's it. I don't know. Doolittle, you can.
Yeah, he opens
fund
up
your,
his practice
fund
again,
your dig for a further room. 3 years. I don't know. Whatever. Just.
Yeah. Yeah, he reopens, but now it's nice. And
Then the worst CG added on text to a placard ever at the end.
Yeah.
Did you see how cheesy that lettering was? It was CG. Like, in the beginning, I didn't notice it, so I'm guessing the plaque had regular engraved writing. Mm-hmm. And then I guess they wanted to, because they didn't want to spend the money on it, they digitally edited out whatever the plaque said and then said, like, Doolittle's sanctuary for animals, and he'll sometimes go on adventures for you. Whoa. And it was so poorly edited on there, and that's how it ends. Like, and then they show the end credit scene are these ridiculous paintings with all the animals and like
an
arm with with their like dress blue, whatever you call it, their general outfits and their it's just like
I bailed.
This movie could have been really fun. It had Robert Downey Jr.
It could have been a cute kids movie.
It had a great cast. And yes, it could have been a really good kids movie, but it's written so poorly. And the CG is so bad that they should have cut their losses and said, this has to be animated. This has to be CG, like fully CG animated.
This is so bad. I can't believe it didn't get sold to Netflix.
Yeah, it's.
Yeah. I mean, surprised.
Netflix has all the money. I just sat up last night and watched that horrible Tyler Perry movie. So like, Netflix has a ton of money.
I heard. Yeah. They're $14 billion in debt, and this year they're gonna spend $17 billion on content.
I don't get it.
I don't care what people say. I don't get the business behind that.
Like, I don't either.
There's only so long. Like, you have to pay the piper eventually.
Right.
Yeah, you can get in debt, and Netflix is popular, so people keep giving them money. But it's like, don't they realize there's not enough coming in to ever pay down the debt? Like,
I don't.
I guess they figure, like, if deficit spending works for America, it could work for Netflix.
it
only works for America because every other country's currency is based on the value of our currency. If we were still on the gold standard,
that's
what keeps our economy afloat, and that's why we can basically keep printing money. When you hear them say quantitative easing, that's code for printing money.
It is. They literally just
and if it wasn't for the fact that everyone uses the dollar as the reference point for the value of their currency, so like whenever that day changes, we're six kinds of screwed.
So I think in this movie, this needed the veneer of knowing this is an animated film to run with it, right? Like, if this was if Illumination had this, right?
Because
this was Universal. Universal had Illumination in its pocket to do this.
Right. Yeah. This should have been animated. If this movie was animated, it may not have been the best written movie, but the terrible CG wouldn't take you out. The mouth moving, the low frame rate choppiness. Like, you talk about Gemini Man, at least on the last movie. Gemini Man is shot at high frame rate, even though nobody can watch it that way. It's shot that way so that everything with the CG and special effects is smooth, because high frame rate feels more realistic to your eye. Well, the animation's so bad in this movie, it's like half normal frame rate. It's not high frame rate, it's low frame rate. The animals move so choppily in this movie that it's distracting. It's not just the uncanny valley, because it's not like a slight thing you can't put your finger on. Like, it is bad. This is like early 2000s, like, you know, CG bad, video game like 90s bad. And if this were animated by Illumination and had a really smooth, polished look to it, I think that would have fixed a lot of it. Not completely, but you're right, Colby. You would give it more of a pass. And also, you could do more, right? Because in animated movies, the reason the animated medium is so good is because anything you can imagine can happen. And animation is limitless. Your imagination can run wild. You want to make animals talk? You want to, you know, do a dance number and say, I just can't wait to be king, while you're dancing on giraffes and all this stuff? Like, you can do it. It's animated, right? When you do it in real life, it doesn't work. Why? Because it's, you know, that stuff doesn't happen in real life. So you would have been able to suspend your disbelief, and they could have done so many more fun things, you know, with boundless imagination, where they were limited to real life. They were limited to terrible green screen and stages, and the terrible CG added on top of it just made it fall flat.
And I think that this film also has the success, the pop culture success of Eddie Murphy's Doolittle still lingering over it, where there was such a practicality and simplicity to that story. This is a veterinarian who just has his magical gift to talk to animals, yeah. And people think that he's crazy. It's like the same thing like with Liar Liar and like those things. This one guy is in this regular world and has this fantastical thing that happens to him.
It's a simple premise. Yeah.
Yeah. Very, very simple. Here, a lot of people don't know that going in. Like I believe in my heart that there are people who saw, like didn't see the trailer and just said, oh, there's this Doolittle movie. Oh, I remember Doolittle. Like when I was like, you know, in the 90s, oh, this should be fun to take my kids to about just talking animals. And it's supposed to be this swashbuckling adventure, but I don't think we as an audience gave it permission to be that. And I think that that really does matter. I will say my daughter, she ate it up. She really loved it. But then again, she's 7.5. She likes fart jokes. But just likes seeing talking animals. So
that's good, though, because, see, I got out of the theater, and these people were talking afterwards, this family that had kids. And I guess they ran into a friend or something. I don't know if they saw the same movie or were going into it afterwards. She said, how'd you guys like it? And the kids went, it was boring. The theater was pretty full and it got very minimal laughs and the kids were very quiet as far as, you know, kids will laugh at a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
I was not getting the audience blown up with laughter.
It's got a 76% audience score on Rotten Tomatoes.
Well, that's good. I'm just speaking from my theater, like you can tell when you're in a kid's movie and they're laughing at silly, you know what I mean? They're just silly jokes that, you know, adults may not laugh at in a lesser movie, but
kids won't be polite if it's not working. You're gonna know it.
So I didn't hear much, which, you know, I was just like, oh, I wanted to like it, Colby, just like you, and I wanted it to be fun and I wanted the adventure. That's the only thing that I liked about it. Was see, I didn't see the Eddie Murphy stuff, but I knew that Doolittle went on adventures, and I wanted a fantasy movie where the characters go on adventures. I like that. You know, I think of stuff like I don't know, like A Never-Ending Story, or I'm just trying to think of like these fantasy adventure, you know, movies that I grew up with as a kid. I like it when they go to these fantastical places and see creatures and do all this stuff. But this wasn't it.
Not at all.
I just took a little peek. Friday did $6.3 million.
Yeah, it's on pace to do about $30 million this weekend, I think. They should be grateful.
Again, I went there and the theater was pretty full. Between Bad Boys and this, the theater was packed because it's the kids' movie, it's talking animals, and it does have Robert Downey Jr. I mean, people are going to take their kids to this, but it's not going to get non-kids audiences. That's the difference. Sometimes there's kids' movies.
A better film with talking animals in it, go see Spies in Disguise.
I've heard good things about it.
It is 10 times better than this.
Yeah, I've heard good things about it, and then that has Will Smith in it.
See, that's all we need. Will Smith to cure the box office and, like he used to. And he's coming back.
Is it Tom Holland, too?
Yes.
Yeah. So it's got actually Will Smith and Tom Holland. This movie has Robert Downey Jr. and Tom Holland. Smith was in the last movie. Yeah. Well, right. Yeah, by name. There's your video recovery. Go watch Spies in Disguise.
So, anyway, I guess that wraps this one up. Colby, where can people find you?
Yes, thanks again for allowing me to go back to back with Real Spoilers. This was fun, and you guys have just been amazing. Anytime you ever want me back, if you'll have me back, I'd love to be back.
Awesome.
But until then, those can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Colby Told Me, and on Facebook at Colby Mac. And when they ask you where you heard it from, you tell them Colby Told Me.
We always do. And thanks for joining us, Colby. You can follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And you can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert, or on Facebook at facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. You can find the show online, facebook.com/Real Spoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group. Don't forget to subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. And, of course, check out our Patreon, patreon.com/Real Spoilers. So that's it for this one. I'm not sure what we're doing next week, so we'll figure that out and let you know. So thanks for tuning in, and until next time, Montgomery becomes the new father.
If I could parley with pachyderms, it's a fairy tale worthy of Hans Andersen or Grimm. A man who walks with the animals, talks with the animals, grunts and squeaks and squawks with the animals.
This is the most exciting thing that's ever happened to me, Polynesia. I can't wait to start.
It's incredible. It's impossible. But it's true. A man can talk to the animals.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.